Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet. Make him the cutest
that I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips. Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted. And tell him
that his loss. Here's the Sandman.
Once you choose your pension benefit, you are locked in forever. Think about that. Forever is a long time. And there's no going back. If you've been asked to retire recently, you're not going to want to miss a single minute of today's show as I and my pension expert dig into which pension option is right for you. Don't get blindsided. Tune in for the entire show as we help protect your retirement. Good morning and welcome to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, your host. It's so great to be with you on this sunny morning. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week, and that's because I manage a financial planning firm and practice law. So deciding how to draw your pension is one of the most important financial decisions you will ever face in your lifetime. Once you make that decision, it is irrevocable, meaning you cannot go back and do a do-over. That's it. The decision you make will have a lasting impact on your family as well, because how that money gets paid out to your spouse and or your family after you're gone is all a function of that decision you're going to make today. So if you make a good decision, it's possible to have predictable, consistent income month after month for not only your life, but your spouse's as well. But if you make a mistake, she could have nothing when you're gone. So that's what we want to help you avoid. So stick with us for the entire show as I and my friend Stephen Dubrow will discuss which pension option is right for you and your family. You only find it here on Protect Your Assets this weekend. As always, like other radio show listeners have done, if you have a question or want specific advice that's tailored to you, go to our website at libertygroupllc.com. Now, let's get started. Well, inflation expectations have been coming back all year. And last week, we had a five-year break-even hit a new four-month high, underscoring new concerns about price pressures and where it's going. The Dow finished the week up 1.7%, S&P up 1.9%, NASDAQ up 2.6%, the MSCI International Index up 0.8%. Oil closing around $80 a barrel, and bonds right now year-to-date are flat. So we went from a point where markets were up 8, 9, 15%. Now they're off 5 to 6%. Bonds are flat. They were looking like they were going to have a pretty good year. And so people started asking me, well, what's going on here? Well, one metric that the Fed has focused on is inflation and wages. And we just saw this past week the fourth quarter unit labor costs come in. Now, this data was more aggressive than the Fed would like. It came in at 3.2%. Now, they were looking for 1.1%. And the bottom line is, between the price index, the ISM report that we just saw on Wednesday, and unit labor costs, these are all hotter than expected. And so there's not a lot of evidence right now that what the Fed is doing is working in a meaningful way. So if that continues to get higher and more pressure, then the Fed's going to continue to get more hawkish, continue to raise rates, and that certainly will result in pain for stocks, bonds, and most widely held risk assets. So as we begin today, I wanted to do a quick dive into the technicals, because obviously we want to know levels of where things are going to be going. You know, I like to do that. So we're going to be talking about technicals right now. So starting with the broad S&P 500, We were just talking about year-to-date where it is. And the S&P 500 stalled in mid-February near the 4,200 level. And that's important because it has a psychological impact, and it also has a derivative market function as well. Now, the pullback started to come mid-February as we saw higher inflation numbers that I just talked about. And we saw the market pull back about 6%. So the latest drop has people asking right now, in fact, I heard a lot of this past week from analysts around the street, wondering if there's a new bottom that's coming, a new tradable bottom. And I'm going to say, unfortunately, today, the answer is not clear as we look at the technicals. So let's just look and see where we are and what we could be looking at. There's something called the Fibonacci rule. You can look it up, Fibonacci. And this is a function of how measuring technicals show you where the market could go. We're watching that right now, and the S&P fell to within 2 points of what we call the 38% retracement, again, using this Fibonacci rule. This dates back to October of last year, because October of last year is where the lows actually came in. And if we break through that level, that's where it could drop further. So right now we're seeing the range between 39.27 on the S&P on the downside and 4029. Now, you recall that Friday we closed at, wait for it, it's coming, 4045. So 4029 was the ceiling. We've gone through that. And I think the trading range we're going to see right now is 39.27 to 4029. That's your support. If we break the rally that we saw in October, then get ready. I think we could see 38.44 on the downside in the S&P 500. So bottom line right now for the S&P 500, we're going to stay range bound in this area. And until we get any sort of meaningful catalyst regarding inflation, expect the trading range to stay within that tight area. Now, the market has three critical economic reports that we're going to be looking at in the next 2 weeks. First, we want to look at the jobs report. That's going to come out a week from yesterday. Then we have the CPI, which is a straight measure of inflation. And if those numbers echo what we just saw in the European data that came out and show that our economy is, frankly, just too hot and inflation is bouncing, again, that's going to put pressure on stocks. And I'm not going to be surprised if the S&P 500 gives back most, if not all, of those year-to-date gains. From a tactical preference, right now, if you're thinking about being defensive in this sort of environment, look for high dividend-paying stocks. Also, value over growth. Continue to say that. And if you've made some money in growth, then maybe you take some chips off the table. What sort of downside could we see? Well, again, the support level is 39.12. But beyond that, you're at 38.08, and beyond that is 37.83. So I don't think we're going to get to 4,100 before we see the 39.12, and that's how I see it. Picking the right pension option for you and your family is easy, right? Wrong. It's quite possibly one of the most important financial decisions you will ever make. Stay with us. We're going to come back and dive into pensions, options, and common mistakes that people make all the time. It always pays to keep it tuned right here. You're listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. That's me. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. The financial and investing world can be so puzzling with so many acronyms and terms that just make it too much to understand, so much so that some people tend to feel stuck, not knowing where to turn or who to trust. The good news is it doesn't have to be that way. We're here to demystify retirement planning and help you gain the confidence you need to feel comfortable about where you are heading. Case in point, on today's show, we're sharing which pension option is right for you. If you have been told that you're being shown the door, or maybe you're thinking about leaving and all of a sudden you're presented with a bunch of different options, what do you do? Which one should you take, and how will it affect you and your spouse? Well, this morning I am joined by my friend Stephen Dubrow. Stephen is president and owner of Primark Benefits. Since 1976, he's been doing pension consulting, record keeping, actuarial services. And most recently, he met with the Senate Finance Committee in Washington, D.C. to talk about how to deal with these sort of issues when it comes to your retirement. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. It's so great to be here. Hi, David. Hi, listeners.
I'm glad you're here. And hey, how was the coffee?
The coffee downstairs is like supreme and top notch.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Because, you know, we work really hard here to make a fine cup of coffee. All right. Well, let's talk about this. So this came up recently. I had a client who had worked for university. He was a very well thought of doctor, had been an employee, got offered this package. And there was a number of different retirement benefits that he could choose from. Stephen, talk to us about how do they come up with these formulas, and what is this all about when you're, say, 62 years old and all of a sudden now you're looking at a new career potentially or not working? How do you come up with these pension options? Like, what is this all about?
Well, let's start with what it's all about, which is you work your whole career for the employer, and then all of a sudden you get retirement age, and instead of getting a monthly check from your employer for your salary, you get a monthly check from the retirement plan. And it's usually based on the salary and other compensation you had at work, and how generous the employer is. In some cases, these government pensions, like universities and schools, they have great, fantastic retirement benefits that include lifetime health care.
Right.
And credits for things like sick leave that you had accumulated, or military service that you'd accumulated, and that gets you a higher monthly benefit. Then when taking the monthly benefit, they give you choices. They give you choices of whether you want to have it just be spread over your personal life, or the personal life of you and your spouse, if you have a spouse. Or sometimes they offer something called a lump sum distribution, where instead of taking that monthly check, you take them all at once in a lump sum, and then you hire a great financial advisor to help you manage that money.
That sounds like a good option. But again, I guess there are a lot of options, right? And so you could have this guaranteed payment from, say, a university. Where do they get this money?
Well, in the case of a government, they have legislatively created a plan with provisions and factors and all this math to create the benefits that you have. In the public sector, there's actually a separate trust where money comes from the employers and goes into a separate fund. The universities are like that. They have a fund going in. I don't think that the state of California, being the fifth largest economy in the world, is going to run out of money to pay pensions with. So you have a lot of security of knowing where the money's coming from, and the state is behind it with their full faith and credit, and retirees from the state know for sure that they're going to get their money. If you take a lump sum and go off to other places and you invest wrongly, or you get a monthly payment from an annuity you would buy, you have to be very careful about what it is you're buying with your lump sum money.
Understood. And the projections that a lot of these fund university managers will use, in terms of the interest rates, do you know on average what's the range of rates that they're projecting that their funds will return? That, again, to back this up, right? Because they're assuming some sort of rate of return, I would imagine.
Well, they are, and there's no one rate I can give you, because every different option you have has a different rate associated with it. The time frames you work have a different rate associated with it, and many other factors go into this actuarial pie that you create, and you have to create the illustrations for the participants one at a time in order for them to know what they're going to be getting out of the plan.
So when they get that statement that says, you know, if you go ahead and take, say, the highest monthly payout option, we'll call that zero to the spouse, 100% highest option to the employee, And let's call that $15,000 a month. That particular benefit is different than, say, the 75% option where they're getting like $14,500 and the spouse would get around $10,000 if the employee dies, right? That you're saying that that pool of money that's going to pay the employee or the spouse, and this, and again, that you can see there's a difference in price. It's about $500 a month. Is that $500 a month going to pay for that extra benefit for the spouse, or how are they calculating that? What's that about?
Well, they call it actuarially equal.
What does that mean?
That means that, you know, based on the life expectancy of you and your spouse and how much they're going to be paying out, it's the same total dollars actuarially given their assumptions. So, you know, some people are going to outlive those assumptions. Some people are going to die right away. And so they have this kind of pool of large numbers that they use to calculate these things with. But for you as the annuitant, you get one choice. You have to make it at the point when it starts. And then after that, it doesn't matter what the university earns on their pension. It doesn't matter what you do. It's not going to change unless maybe it has a cost of living increase built into it. And that's part of the factors that they use.
Right. If they don't have a COLA built into it, it's just a straight payment, then you know, what do you do? I mean, do you look at, because you don't necessarily know how long you're going to live or your spouse is going to live unless you know, right? Unless there's some sort of a diagnosis or family history or something you can look at. If you're relatively healthy, if you're pretty normal overall, like most of us, I mean, actuarially, right? It's the actuary's job to figure out how long these folks are going to potentially live, right? And they get that wrong or right. I know they're compensated pretty well to figure that stuff out. But I mean, what do you usually see in practice when you're looking at something like this? Is there a right way to choose this? Or what are some of the things you want to think about?
Yes, you have to think about the rate of inflation. Because that great $1,000 a month pension you got in 1972 doesn't look so great today.
Yeah.
So you have to see if there's a cost of living increase and then see how it compares to your real cost of living. Because you will find your life standards going down. Now, the assumption is when you get a pension plan that when you retire, you're not acquiring any more assets, so you can live more cheaply. And that's kind of baked into this whole process. That might not be true for many people in California.
Yep. So I think it's fair to say if you're thinking about the lump sum option, you know, obviously you want to think about your income needs fluctuating in retirement. Maybe while you're in your 60s and 70s, you can travel and do things. But when you get older, you may not be able to do those same things. You may have other expenses like healthcare later in life as well. So that's something to make sure you have the flexibility. If you go with a lump sum, you have that cash available to make some choices with that cash. If you don't, and like you were saying, you're stuck with this, say, $15,000 a month, that's it. I mean, that's what you have. And that's it. You can't go back and change that.
Right. If you take a lump sum, you can dedicate some of it to that income stream that's payable for the rest of your life, mm-hmm. for the rest of the life of you and your spouse, mm-hmm. in the increments you want. And then you have a side fund where you can adapt for inflation or take a trip or you know, invest in other ways and maybe grow it a little bit.
Sure.
So it gives you a lot more options if you take the lump sum. A lot of people are, you know, trading off, do I trust that the government's going to give me this whole thing versus am I going to be able to grow that money and not outlive it?
Exactly. Okay. And so also another option that I think is worth considering when you're thinking about the lump sum is your spouse or your family. Because once again, if you do the pension option, then you're locking yourself into that certain monthly payment and that's it. And if you, for some unknown reason, pass away, then they're getting, again, a fixed monthly sum. It may be reduced, depending on if you pick that 25, 50, or 75% option. It's reduced. Now, they're stuck with that. And if something happens to that spouse, say within the next, this happens regularly. I see one spouse pass away. They've been together forever. Mm-hmm. I typically see, again, this is just my experience. I typically see within the next couple of years, something happens to that second spouse. I have one right now that's about to pass away because of that situation. They lost their spouse, you know, 50 years, and now all of a sudden, they're gone. So they're almost gone. But anyway, so these things happen.
And let's add that there's nothing for the heirs.
Okay,
if you're
thank
taking
you.
A monthly pension,
yeah.
It's gone when you die.
Let's make sure we understand that. So what you're saying is that, let's say again, employee, in this case, Mr. Doctor Man, he was getting his $15,000 a month. He dies 10 years later. Now his spouse is still here. She's getting, say, $10,000 a month. She lives another 3-4 years. she passes away, what you're saying is the family would get nothing of that remaining money. It's gone.
Right, because it's just salary continuation until you die.
Mm-hmm. So if there was $1 million left on the table, if we looked at the math of all that, who keeps that money?
Well, the plan does, or the insurance company if it's private annuitants. That's factored into the actuarial assumption the plan uses when it's saying this is how much we're going to pay you.
So if they did the lump sum option, then they have the cash that then could be paid out as part of the estate to the beneficiary, right, or the successor, trustee owner, or someone like that.
Well, not only that, if you take a lump sum and then you decide what portion, even if you want to annuitize the whole thing and be in the same position, if you go to the open market and shop for an annuity of good quality providers, you will end up with more monthly income than what usually the plan sponsor or the state or the organization can pay you, because the factors that you're using on the open market are totally different than what legislatures tell the plan they have to assume.
All right. That's a very good point. And so what you're saying is sometimes, in fact, we have an example of this, the open market right now, for instance, on a 60-year-old, because here we're talking about someone who's 62, I'm looking at a rate sheet right now, 60, 65, and 70. So if we're looking at a 62, that will fall in the 60 parameter. There's a carrier that we work with that's paying a 6.81% payout. And if we take that as opposed to what the government was offering here, which equates to roughly a 5.6% payout, and we look at someone who could live to their 90s, in this case, 28-something years, we're seeing over a $2 million difference over time that would just be straight from a straight payout. And so I think this makes your point, which is the open market typically is more efficient than the government. Is that what you're saying?
And more efficient than private employers that pay a pension.
Oh.
So in other words, you can have the same monthly benefit by buying it on the open market and use all the leftover cash to pay for healthcare expenses or leave to your heirs or do other things with.
Hmm. And that's just, is that just a simply a function of the market? Or what's the difference? I mean, this I don't want to make this political, but why is that? Why is the open market typically working out this way?
It's a risk shift from the employer or municipality over to the participant. Because if you buy an insurance policy from a insurer that might go broke someday, not that many of them do, then you're taking on that risk. When a private employer goes to purchase an annuity for you,
right,
they have to choose from only the five most best companies, highest rated, and generally the most expensive. So when they're shopping for annuity, they're on totally different rules than you, and they have to give you the safest option and offer you those. And those monthly payments will be less than if you go independently and find the same darn insurance companies offering products to the general market that are different than what their employer can buy.
So this is a very interesting point in that some private companies will have their own pool of money. Governments will have their own pool of money that they'll manage and run. And so they're looking at their returns off of that money, right? And not necessarily going out and looking at other things that could be available in the private market. So you're seeing essentially market efficiencies working well. And if you happen to find something that's better and you have a good quality insurance company and you feel comfortable, you're taking on that extra risk, but you're also getting a better return, potentially.
You probably are. Remember, you might have a little bit of extra expense for health insurance or maybe take
of course, because you're giving up that benefit.
Yeah.
But in this case, if we're looking at $2 million more, I think you could buy pretty much whatever insurance you'd want for your health care. I've seen that. I would think so. It's a choice.
So in these plans in the private sector where I do most of my work,
sure.
People are offered annuity frequently, and we've been doing this for 50 years, and I can count on one hand that when it's plain, the number of people actually chose the annuity the plan was offering.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
So it's really dramatic difference.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, this is an efficiency, that inefficiency, if you will, that we're talking about and discovering this morning. So I'll ask you, what would you do if all of a sudden your spouse didn't have that income, what would she do or what would he do if you just retired and 16 years from now you pass away and now she or he has zero from your pension or a lot less purchasing power than they had when you were around? Think about that. What would they do? Would they be forced to sell your house? What kind of taxes would that trigger? Don't be that person who makes that mistake. You can talk to someone right now. We're sitting here at the phone. It's a Saturday, I know. But we can help you with these decisions. We have Steven here, 866-PROTECT. Pick up the phone. Call this number right now. We're more than happy to walk you through your options before you make the wrong mistake. 866-776-8328. What are you waiting for? 866-PROTECT. Coming up next is time for our popular They Say segment, where they say your pension can't go bankrupt. Is that really true? And if so, what would that mean for you? You'll be surprised at the answer. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week right here on your favorite radio station. If you've just tuned in, deciding how to draw your pension is one of the most important financial decisions you will ever face in your lifetime. And once you make that decision, it's irrevocable, meaning you can't go back and do a do-over. That's it. So the decision you make will have a lasting impact on your family as well, because as that money gets paid out, if for some reason you're not here, your spouse will be subject to what you chose today. And then if he or she is not around for the period that you're thinking they'll be around, well, guess what? Then you don't, your family doesn't see any of that money. It disappears. So don't make a mistake. Stay with us this morning as we keep talking about which pension option is right for you. So this morning, we're talking about which pension option is right for you. I've brought in an expert in this area. His name is Stephen Dubrow. He's with Primark Benefits. Stephen has been doing this since 1976. And I don't think there's anyone more qualified out there to answer this question about which pension option is right for you. Stephen recently sat down with the Senate Finance Committee in Washington, D.C. Stephen, what was that like?
Well, it's a long process, and getting a bill through last December to actually change a lot of pension provisions was kind of birthing a baby, so to speak, and a very joyous event. And I'm just full of joy that we have many new pension options, which you have explained in past shows, and more options coming up, both as an employee and as an employer, to expand the private retirement system.
And that's amazing, because it's about time. We need these things. And of course, we will be getting to that. But before we get into that, now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment. We debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All right, so here's one they say. They say that pension plans are preserved and sustainable, and you shouldn't worry about your pension going under. What do you say? Is that always true? No, it's not. Nearly 1 million working and retired Americans are currently covered by pension plans that are in danger of insolvency, according to a Daily News article. Since the study was released, we've seen two significant stock market declines. We've seen soaring inflation, as we were talking about earlier on the show. And this compounds the problem, because as you live longer, if the returns aren't what the estimates were, if the cost of living becomes higher, then your income may have a problem keeping pace with your station in life. So what happens if a pension is unable to pay its promised benefits? Well, according to the Heritage Foundation, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, it's called the PBGC, this is similar to FDIC, they found that for a promised benefit of $24,000 a year, they're insured only up to $12,870. Now, the article goes on to talk about if the PBGC were to go insolvent, that $12,870 promise is really only able to cover $1,500 under the insurance benefit. So the concern here is that when you retire, if you're relying on an annuity payment from a pension, you're placing a lot of trust in that pension calculation. And if those calculations are off, there may not be enough insurance to recover for that loss. Stephen, we were talking during the break about sort of what this all says. Talk to me a little bit about what Congress has done in relation to outstanding pension benefits as they look at the entire country. I mean, this is what we're talking about, right? Some states have problems, some don't. But what about those areas where there are problems? What are we facing here?
Well, first of all, participants getting a pension should know if they're in the private sector, their benefit is insured by a government agency, pseudo-government agency called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, mm-hmm. who steps in and gives you a pension benefit if your employer pension plan goes broke.
Mm-hmm.
That's funded by the employers that pay those pensions, and the government gives them funding too. There's a lot of union plans right now that are failing because their client base got very old. And
we've seen this. Yeah. I know we have a lot of listeners on this show because I've met a lot of them who are pipe fitters and sheet metal worker unions. I've seen these letters where they've written to United Airlines. You know, they get these letters which say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, you were promised $100,000 a year, but now you're getting $40,000 a year. I mean, I've seen these. So what is that? What is that? Why does that happen?
So the government set up something so that people could rely on pensions, but it wasn't going to be for highly paid pilots that they were going to get the same benefit that they would have gotten from the airlines. They're mm-hmm. going to get a certain amount based on when they retired and the compensation they had during their employment. And the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation is just trying to provide you a base level of benefits.
Okay.
And not
what you were necessarily,
right.
I don't want to say promised, but what you saw on paper, right? I mean, you know, you get a statement, it says you're going to get X. These things happen in the world, and now all of a sudden you're looking at Y.
Well, you know, if you were a $200,000 a year pilot and your airline went broke and now you're getting $40,000 or $50,000 from PBGC, it really affects you.
But
if you're the pipe fitter that you know you're working with, it's not going to be that different.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress is doing everything they can to make sure that those plans go to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation and have extra government funding so they continue to pay those benefits. And Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation isn't broke. It does have some unfunded liabilities as they take on more and more of these plans.
Sure.
But Congress has the ability to write them checks. So
And that's again, we're just highlighting the issues here. And again, we want to just make sure our listeners understand that, again, it may say one amount and you could be down the road and looking at a different amount. And of course, that's going to affect your lifestyle and how you deal with that. Let's back up because there's some great things that came from this new law that I want to talk to you about. What can people do right now today to save more money for retirement?
Well, your employer might offer a retirement plan. And if they don't, 100 million Americans have no access to a retirement plan at work.
100 million.
Right.
It's roughly a third of our population.
So what Congress has done is all these new ways to get employers to adopt plans and then make it more attractive for employees to actually participate. And, you know, here in California, as well as several other states, they created their own retirement plan where it said if your employer doesn't have them, they have to join ours. So we have something called CalSavers, run by the people that brought you Caltrans and the DMV.
How do you find that?
Well, they find you as the employer, and they say you have to automatically enroll all your employees. And it's not a bad deal. But under this new law, we have something called Starter 401k plans,
mm-hmm.
where you're not dealing with the state anymore. You're dealing with pension professionals, you can go out and there are tax credits available. The government is going to pay for your install cost. And if you have employer contributions in that, they're going to give you, you know, $250 to $1,000 per employee just for offering them a benefit. So having a plan at work is the first important thing. If people have a plan at work, they're likely to save. In fact, if they don't, they're going to open up an IRA. Only 4.1% of Americans do that. Hmm. You're 17 times more likely to open up an account in a 401k plan. And of people offered them, or retirement plans in general, 72% of them end up with an account. So retirement plans are the only thing that works. And this new starter K plan can be the things that get people in there, because it's a lot easier than the CalSAVERS thing, and gives you a pension professional. And from there, you can leapfrog into things so that your employees can put in more benefits and can adjust their savings. The whole idea here is we got to get young people who are in their 20s to start saving, because if they start saving a little bit now, by the time they're old like me, they're going to have a reasonable nest egg.
You're not old, Stephen. This is a good point, because let's say that you were 5 years away from retirement and you were thinking about some of these other things you can do. We have a carrier right now that if you're 60 and you can defer for, say, 5 years doing some of these bolt-on plans that you're talking about, there's other things we can do. Steven's the expert in this area. We have something right now that's paying a 20% income bonus, and then after 5 years, you could withdraw up to 10.45% for life. So they're incredible interest rates right now. I've been doing this for 30 years. I haven't seen rates like I've seen right now for some time. If you want to find out about how to get more interest on your money and not run out, well, again, it's again backed by the claims paying ability of that company. But there are some exceptional rates out there right now. Don't run out of money. Call us right now. Find out what's available. 866-PROTECT. 866-776-8328. We have Stephen here this morning. We can talk to you about other ways you can save more. There may be things out there right now, and I think Stephen can tell you, 90% of the cases we bring him, he always finds a way to do something that they didn't even know existed.
Well, you know, I always say, you've heard of an IRA, you've heard of a 401k. Those are just two of 24 different types of retirement plans you can have at your employer.
24. Do you hear that? 866-776-8328. Find out what you do not know. 866-PROTECT right now. Coming up next, find out the one secret you can use right now to get the most out of your pension. It's all coming up next. Keep it right here.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com, where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week. This week we got presented with a big one. We had a client who recently retired, had a option, actually multiple options to choose from a pension. And it was just so confusing that I decided to bring in an expert and help us on this case. Steven's with me this morning, Stephen DeBrow of Primark Benefits. He's been doing this since 1976. And he was involved last year with the Senate Finance Committee testifying about what are some options people should consider. And we have a new law to deal with. So, Stephen, thanks for coming in this morning. It's great to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks.
We're going to be talking more about this. We have one secret we want to share with you right now that came out of this. So, Stephen, this new law that passed, what's it called?
Secure 2.0.
All right. And there was one secret in there that had to do with people who are over 50. Tell me a little bit about that.
Right now, if you're in a 401k plan, the most you can put in is $22,500. But if you're over age 50, you get a catch-up election of an extra $7,500. So right now, some people are saving $30,000 just out of their salary to go into a retirement plan if they're a really good saver. But there's something coming up. In a couple of years, they're going to take the catch-up and they're going to increase it by 150% for those who are age 60, 61, 62. And 63.
And that is not far off.
That starts in 2 years, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to put in, if it were today, it'd be between 11 to 12,000 instead of 7,500. So
wow. So if you were thinking about this now, it might make sense for you to map this out and figure out a way how you could not only take advantage of what's available now, but also a year and a half from now, 2 years, as this becomes the new rule. Where are you going to get the money to fund that? Because you can do it, but you have to plan for it. Because I think you'll probably agree that I see this a lot. People continue to live their life. They spend their money. They always wonder, well, how am I going to pay for this? Or where is that coming from? And I can't do it because I fixed my car, right?
Well, I find that if people increase their contribution by another 2% every year, they never miss it. It doesn't impact their latte budget at Starbucks.
Okay. So these are all helpful tips. And I want to just, again, before we wrap up here, I wanted to walk through this pension option that we got presented with, which was you could take a number of different options where you would get an income for life, health benefits, your spouse could get a certain benefit. There were four different options presented. In this one case, they had a lump sum option. We went through this today on the show, lump sum versus these payment options. But in this particular case, we're looking at a 62-year-old person. If they lived to be age 90, we were seeing over $2 million more in benefits. Again, this is all very specific to a certain fact pattern. But again, if they could get over $2 million in benefits, looking at the private market as opposed to what the public market was paying them, that was over a 2% greater internal rate of return over this person's life expectancy. We have the ability to map this out. If you're just looking at the bottom line of what number's better, which is a better option for you? This is a very individualized decision because you have to think about yourself. You're thinking about your spouse, thinking about your family. There's, Stephen, I mean, you've been doing this since 1976. These are a lot of choices.
They are. And some people, you know, my oldest sibling is a teacher and she was offered this and she got 100% of salary and this was the absolute right choice for her. Mm-hmm. And I see lots of people come to my office and I say, it's absolutely the wrong choice. Please go see an investment professional and chop this up between an annuity and investable capital and a legacy to leave to other people.
And that's just, again, if you don't know or you can't see this, if you don't have the tools to map this out, you're just shooting in the dark. And one thing that we do here, as you know, at our company, we have full financial planning tools. We have financial planners on staff. We sit down with you and we map all this out. So before you make that decision, you can see what sort of options you may have, how this will affect you from a tax standpoint, how your Social Security will integrate with this, because that's another consideration. Social Security, certainly, that was presented in these materials a certain way. Is that necessarily the right way? Well, maybe not. So there's many ways to look at this. And I think by setting up a 15-minute complimentary strategy session with our team, because remember, we're not only accountants here, we're attorneys and we're financial planners all working under one roof. And we have experts like Stephen who jump in on Zoom calls with us. Thank you, Stephen, mm-hmm. from time to time to help you answer these questions and figure this out. You need a good coach to win. You know that. So pick up the phone and get coaches right now that have been doing this for a long time. 866-PROTECT. Pick up the phone right now. Talk to my team. Find out what you don't know. 866-PROTECT before it's too late. I want to give a big thanks to Stephen for coming in today. Thank you. And all my team back there who's been doing all the work, making it sound pretty good this morning. We've got my executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and my fabulous producers answering the phone and doing the hard connecting work. Raf, Adrian, Cam, thank you guys. Because without our team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal legal or tax specialist and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.